Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Matthews, and I have a very special guest that I've known for a while. We won't say how many years because we don't want to age myself, but just an expert here in the pump industry, and he'll get into his background, but that's how I know you. And it's funny that I use pumps when that's not your particular equipment of choice, but you can go into that. Well, Tim, without further delay, we'll let you just go ahead and introduce yourself to the group.
Okay, I am Tim Albers, and introducing myself. Well, so currently I do product management for Nidec Corporation, which is U.S. first, and I've been in that role or in a role similar to that with U.S. Motors for, wow, it's over 26 years now. So it's been a while. Had a lot of different jobs at U.S. Motors. Engineering, product development, product management, marketing, product service, had aftermarket service for a while. So had a lot of different. And before that, I was with General Electric in the motor and drive side. And actually, even the GE Fuji joint venture for a while on drives, I did that. And before that, I was a Navy officer. And so I served active duty for 5 years and then the reserves for 7, and did a lot of different things. But one of the things I did was engineering. So I qualified as an underway engineering officer, and I learned a lot about a lot of things doing that. So that's kind of my history.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that on the podcast, and just me and you in general too. Like, the Navy is such a great ground, if you will, to bring people into our industry. That they've got so many different skills there, from teamwork to the equipment itself. And so, was it electrical and stuff like that that you were doing in the Navy?
So in the Navy, you know, when you're running the engineering plant, you run everything. So. But I mean, so you run your propulsion, you know, and that varies ship by ship. But the one thing that doesn't vary is you also make all your electricity. And so you learn a lot about electricity because you have to make it. And so it's not motors, but it's generators. And so then you learn, you know, you learn everything about it, making electricity, not everything, but a lot, and then also distributing it. And then you also, you know, because of that, you know, your main, even on a steamship, you have a whole bunch of electric motors because you only use the steam for some of your really largest loads. So you learn about a lot about electric motors too, because they drive a lot of your applications. So
similar to today.
I learned a lot about electricity from that and other applications and stuff. It was, you know, when I was getting out of the Navy, GE at the time had a junior military officer thing, and they would actually go recruit, you know, junior military officers for different jobs and stuff. And so that's how I got, you know, into GE, you know, and they loved hiring engineers, you know, so people, you know, whether they were degreed engineers or whether they, you know, were engineers in the Navy. So that's kind of where I got.
Well, you can be proud of that, right? That it takes a lot to go through that engineering school and kind of going through the training it is to be an engineer. But then there's a lot of pride in just the creed of being an engineer, right? I want to say do no harm, but that's like medical. But, you know, just we want to make things run well and efficient and better the world.
Well, and it's you talk about pride, and it is, I mean, particularly in the Navy, it's a big deal because, you know, you make your own water, you heat your own water. If you get a hot shower or not, depends on whether one, you made the water, or two, whether you were able to make it hot. You know, you get home because you made it work. You know, the lights stay on because you made it work. You get fed because you gave electricity to make it work. So, you know, it's, when you're running the engineering plant, you know, it's important for war fighting, but it's also just to get yourself home. So
that's right, for the survival, the critical equipment, which we talk about a lot, with the things that are vital to life on here, water being essential.
Waters are essential, yes. Whether it comes out of the ground or you turn seawater into fresh water, either way. Yeah.
That's right. And so you've got this very long career in our industry and you've learned a lot and then you've participated in a lot. And it was really ironic. We were at the Hydraulic Institute for everybody. We were at their annual meeting and I went up to you. I'm like, I want to have you on the podcast. Like, I need to tell your story. I hunted you down at WEF Tech before that, I believe. And
yes.
Or AHR. I can't remember which
it was
one.
AHR. I think.
AHR. Yep. Yes. Yep. And I'm like, I really just want to share because I've known you so long and that's, you know, kind of my fun give back on this podcast. But the other thing is you got recognized for your work that you've been doing at the Hydraulic Institute. Will you tell us what that means to you?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, it does mean a lot. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you start going to Hydraulic Institute because you're like, oh, I want to get some relationships in the pumping industry and stuff like that. And that happens. But then you also develop relationships and you also get invested in, you know, in a lot of the standards. You know, it's like, you know, there are things about some of the standards where it sounds weird, but I'm passionate about, like, hey, we're going to get that done. Even if it takes 10 years, we're going to get that done, you know? And I guess it's that kind of passion and dedication to those kind of things that goes beyond, you know, I'm going to have relationships or whatever within the pumping industry. I guess that's kind of where it comes down. And it was a surprise to me. I really, maybe I knew this, but I just like, oh, an associate member can't be person of the year. That doesn't make sense. You know, it's.
You've put in the hard work. And I'll say is any of these associations, Ed Marquis said it the best years ago for the Fluid Sealing Association. Well, you get out what you put in to these organizations, and you've definitely done that and just been a part of recognizing that and that personal development that comes along with putting in the work and building teams to help you do the work. And I know you have mentored your team. I know Patrick is right there behind you as far as investment, but you know, it's not easy either. It's not like you just know how to create standards just like this.
No, it's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, it's twofold. One is it's a time commitment, right? I mean, it is, it's absolutely time commitment, and you have to balance that versus having a regular job. And the other thing is exactly what you said. And that is that, you know, developing standards does not come naturally. It is, and there are people, and I hear them all the time, they've only been to one or two meetings and they just walk around and they're like, this is like herding cats, you know? And it's like, yeah, it's hard work because you have to go to your competitors effectively and build consensus. And that's a challenge. And it takes kind of a unique temperament. I call it a skill set, but it's also a temperament, you know. You have to be persistent, but you also have to be able to convince people of what the best thing for the industry is. So it's a, you know, I do that in some other organizations as well. You know, I think you probably know this, but that I chair the NEMA Technical Committee. So for motors and generators. So yeah, if you have a NEMA standard for motors and generators and there's something you don't like about it, I guess you can contact me and let me know because it might be my fault. So
I love that. And also, you know, if there's some praises, right? So consider that. Maybe say thank you for all the hard work that you've done. And that's part of it, being able to learn that and have the, I love that word, temperament, because sometimes we get, you know, we want something to happen, but we don't have the knowledge or temperament to be able to get it across to everyone. And that does take training, I think, and practice the knowledge of how to do that. So why did you get into this? I know you said the Navy, but what keeps you here?
Well, what keeps me here? You know, I think there's a couple of things. One is, you know, you get to keep work. You know, this is one thing where if you have a regular job and you go do the same job every single day, you know, it's hard to necessarily learn something new every day. When you show up to these organizations, in most cases, you are with those business leaders, right? You know, and if you're doing pump standards, in many cases, you've got the engineering leaders of those businesses. And so those are people who, you know, just through the interaction, you get to learn things from them. You know, and sometimes you learn things about pumps, but other times you know, you have a conversation with them and you start talking about, I don't know, you know, space rockets or, you know, whatever else it is. These are the leaders in their industry. They're smart people with a lot of experience, and they're in those for a reason. Their companies trust them to go and do these things. And so in many cases, they're really interesting people to learn things from, whether that's about, you know, NPSH, or whether it's about, you know, something completely different. It's,
I always say that engineers do have some of the coolest hobbies. And I think it's because that, like sailing, for example, or hiking, where you have to be prepared and have all your things together. And like, there's a process to it. These are some of the most fascinating conversations that I've personally had with engineers that I've met, because this is not something I could just go do. I mean, it would take me so much time to prepare for that, that just leaning on people who have done it, I could go sailing with, and I have actually been sailing with an engineer that, you know, they know how to do that, right? And so I can just join in on the fun. But to the point, you can learn and you can have great experiences by these relationships. I love that so much. Okay.
Very much.
Advice time, because you have been here and now you have the ability to influence these young people coming up. So how do you tell them that this is a good industry or that you should plug into an association? Like, what is your advice and how do you influence them?
Well, I mean, that's the first thing when I tell them, you know, first of all, getting involved. You know, that so you're talking to a young person, a younger person, whether they be in marketing or engineering or whatever it is, and they're like, you know, hey, I do see this and I want to learn more. I do want to, you know, grow in this. And I say getting involved is important. And they'll say, oh, okay, well, I'll go to a meeting. You're like, okay, that's fine. You can come to a meeting. But when you're there, you have to get invested and you have to choose something that you want to get involved in. And then you have to stick with that. Because again, you can't get passionate about something. You can't get engaged in something unless you have a commitment to it. I mean, it's just like running, for example. You know, it's like you can say, I'm going to go run 5 miles. Well, maybe you can, maybe you can't. But if you don't keep doing it, you're never going to get good at it. And it's the same with anything, playing the guitar, running 5 miles, or being involved in your industry. They're all the same. You have to stay at it. And yeah, you can skip a day, you can skip a week, but you have to come back to it. And if you, and that, that's, and you get the joy, you get the endorphins, you know, when you have success and it takes time and you get there. So I don't know if that analogy worked or not, but
I can totally see the like glow from you as the member of the year. I was just so proud for you because I know the hard work and the reason why I know is because I continued to see you showing up over and over again. So I do look at that. I've been in the industry 20 years now. And it's okay, who is putting in the work? You can see people that attend conferences but aren't part of anything. And that's not the same. And putting in that work and being involved and creating these changes that were necessary for, you know, our industry to move forward. There's so much that really the last 10 years, it's been beautiful to watch. I mean, of course I want things to move a lot faster, but that it takes time to build those things. And that's what I'm learning. And I think being part of these organizations absolutely gives you the knowledge that it takes more time for collective change. But then how do you do that? What are the steps? So I'll ask you again, as far as like success, and I know we talked a little bit about it with temperament, but as far as getting kind of some of these big, big things across the finish line, what do you feel like, I guess, name some things that you feel that you've done and kind of how you got them accomplished.
Oh my goodness. Well, so I'll give you an example, one thing in the poem. So one thing I've been engaged in is like all the different test standards. Okay, whether it's the laboratory testing of submersibles or regular clean water, or the actual one that was created for the DOE, and then there's test standards for now we're creating a field test standard. You know, one of the things that I have noticed over time, because I've been engaged with all of these different standards, is that, you know, we actually talk about the measurement of power, electrical power. We refer to it, and we have all kinds of different wording and references and everything in all the different standards. And then the international 9906, which is the international, the European pump test standard, is even a little bit different. And so it's one of the things that I've been pushing for is a harmonization of that across the industry, which then actually would become a harmonization really across the world, because I'm pushing it on the Euro pump side as well. And I think we're pretty close to having one standard set of wording and text that we can then apply to all of the pump test standards, including in Europe. And then that kind of propagates across the world. And you say, you know, it's not quite 100% done yet, but I've been working towards this now for, it's probably been almost 7 or 8 years to try to get kind of a harmonized view of electrical power measurement across all the different pump test standards. And, you know, that doesn't sound like that's much, but it's one of those things where you just want to have one consistent set so that, and then it, that it's harmonized also to what the, you know, what the electrical motor industry would say. Yeah, that's a good measurement, you know, process.
I was going to say that you have to understand what everybody's reservations or conflicts or, you know, how this is going to help the industry. So you need to know both sides in order to get these things across. And that takes a lot of listening, being active in those meetings. So, I think that that's the part about being involved. I don't think you could have gotten to this point without being involved early on in some of these conversations to even be heard today, right? Like they've got to know where you stand. I mean, they do. I think industry knows what you stand for in this space, and that takes your personal brand showing up, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. And it's interesting because it doesn't matter whether it's something like that or for example, you know, the DOE was going to, and so was Europe, was going to try to regulate, for example, submersibles. And a bunch of us said, you can't do that. There's no good way to, we don't have a standard for that. And, you know, a few of us kind of raised up our hands, and a couple of guys in Europe started actually writing something together. And a few of us jumped on that. And now there's a standard moving forward, which is going to take another couple of years, but it'll actually be one for submersible motor test standards for efficiency. And it didn't used to exist. And that's really a shared thing between the pump industry and the electric industry. You know, neither side can do that one. That one really has to be a joint one. So,
yeah. And you can say, I mean, basically it's saying, okay, there's not one. Well, let's get together and create one because it's needed. And how many times is that what we do when there's a product that's needed, right? Our customer tells us the issue that they're having, and then we go and create this product. So similar to this, it's just listening to the customer, listening to the industry in this case on what needs to be done.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Well, I love this. I love being able to share like in this joy of you being member of the year. I just was like taking pictures and so excited about it because I know it's special to you, but also I think it you are a great example for our industry and somebody who plugs in, who helps not just yourself along the way. You, like I said, you have brought people behind you to the organizations that you work with, and you can't, when that happens, then you know that there is a leader involved. That's that ripple effect is real. And so first of all, thank you for doing that. Okay. So I love to kind of give you the last word of what people, you know, our listeners, whether they be manufacturers or end users, marketers or business owners, but just what is something that you think that our industry needs to know?
Wow. I don't think I was ready for that question.
I know. You weren't ready for all of them, but there's, I didn't prepare you, but there's a lot there.
You know, I think as far as something the industry needs to know, I think probably a lot of them already know it, but just going to say that the dynamics that have occurred over the last few years are going to continue to accelerate over the next 5 to 10 years, particularly as it pertains to energy efficiency. And I think that everyone needs to be thinking about the most efficient system, not just the most efficient component. And what does that look like for your customer for the next 5 to 10 years? Because the entire, the infrastructure is going to change. And, the move to variable speed and then even not just variable speed, but even correct application of variable speed, which is a big difference between just putting in something and then making it the best it can be. I think it's really, that's not going to stop, and it's not a fad, and it is what it is going to be. And it's going to affect motors and drives and pumps and fans and compressors, and it's not going to stop. And I think that's probably the biggest dynamic and the biggest thing. If I could talk to everybody and say, hey, what do you like? Be thinking about what that's going to be and start planning for, because that's going to make the biggest difference. So,
yeah. And I think that's a great point, and it makes me think, because, when I was trying to introduce social media to our industry, it was like, what is this? Why do I need to do this? And sometimes I think about this with just digital in general. It's that mindset that has to shift and get people on board with the culture that this is around to stay. So, okay, let's go with it. And I think that I see that so much with our technology, and I relate to it, I guess, because I kind of saw that it took too long. Okay, let's just make that statement that it's here and it's important and it's real. I appreciate that, Tim. Okay, so I can't let you go without any rapid fire, because it's fun for me. I mean, you kind of got rapid fire on this in general, but my question is, what is your favorite book?
Oh, my favorite book.
Can't be a pump standard. No.
Probably one that I think about a lot is Fathers and Sons by Turgenev. It's kind of a nice little, it's a family study, but it's also about happiness and sadness. He's a Russian author. So
I love it. Awesome. I love studies of behavior. So I'll check that out. Favorite song, artist, band?
Probably YouTube. It's kind of like it's still my go-to. So
sit out and jam. And then best advice you've ever received.
Wow. That's a great question. Some of the best advice I have ever gotten is know when you've got the sale. And what I mean by that is not just in a sales environment, but also it could be a presentation, in front of somebody, and just, or it could be anything you're doing in life. You have to recognize when the situation has hit either success or failure, and you need to say okay and move on from there. And that I was not good at that, and I received some pretty strong advice over the time, multiple times, and I really take that to heart, try to improve that in my life. So no one got this thing.
As a salesperson at heart, I love that moment when it's like, okay, I don't need to say anything, but you have to kind of make yourself be quiet, or you could go and unsell the process. So okay. So this was a little more tricky. This is, what advice would you give to, we'll say, a young professional coming into the industry?
Well, I think for a lot of young professionals, one of my primary pieces of advice is always know where you want to go. Particularly if you're coming up as an engineer, for example, I'll use that as an example, because if you're coming up as an engineer, you have to choose. Do you want to become the world's best engineer, or do you want to become the world's best marketer, or do you want to become the world's best business leader? Where do you want to go in your career? And thinking about that will help you make decisions every single day, what you're doing to help make that happen. And thinking that things just happen for you just because you're good at your job is not the right way to do it. You need to let people know what you want to do, and let people around you know that, like, my goal is to become this, not to say you want it next month, but that's where you want to go, because people will help you if they know what you want to do. And so figuring that out is really important.
I think that is some of the best advice I've heard, especially in our industry as a, as an engineer, because you can get pigeonholed into, you're going to be the, you're going to know everything there is to know about that one little thing. And it's going to be a different career path. And I think that's great advice, Tim. I mean, one of the best I've heard, which we knew that was going to be because he's a member of the year and therefore he's awesome. And you are, and I know we've featured you before, but this is extra special. And I thank you again for all of your work and continue it. It's not over. So, right. This is just recognition. And I guess if anybody wants to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
Well, I mean, they can get to me on email. Obviously they can connect on LinkedIn too.
That's good. We'll put it in the show notes. No worries. Okay. And I would just say, share this episode. I know that everybody in my like close circle here probably knows Tim, but let's share this and celebrate this with him. But then I think this episode also would help anyone in our field, and that even across industry, right? So a lot of the times we talk about the pump industry, but I think that because of water, we're in every single industry because water is in everything. And so share this. And I would just say, if you haven't done so, please like and subscribe, do all that stuff to make our episode show up in your feed. That makes it easy. And just let us know if you know of somebody that's cool and interesting, maybe not as cool as Tim, but let us know. And I would love to interview them. But Tim, I would love you to stay involved with us. I would love to, of course, see you and your team at EPIC. It's in November 14th, 15th, and that is in Atlanta or Buford, Georgia. And we are excited about that. So just thank you again for all that you do for the industry. And until next time, everybody, be empowering.